You're in the loop. We're here to discuss the ups, downs, and sideways of the sport of figure skating, and maybe give you +5 GOE along the way. Let's introduce this week's hosts. Hello, I am Carly, and I spent the new year realizing that we are halfway through the season and subsequently stressing. You can find me on Twitter at CyberSwanSP. And today, we have a guest host.
Hi, I'm Allie Ween, and I'm the founder and editor of Edges of Glory, and I'm so honored to be co-hosting In the Loop this week with my girl, Carly.
Yay, welcome, Allie!
Thank you, it's so surreal.
Seriously, like, I've been looking forward to this recording for, like, weeks, because we've had Allie on standby for an episode, and you were at Canadian Nationals, so it's perfect for you to host this episode.
Yes, I was at Canadian Nationals, and I got sick at Canadian Nationals and had many fever dreams of Finsteps, so that was fun.
Just to start off, this is our US and Canadian Nationals episode, but to start off, we're going to have a little mini 5-minute interview with Allie. So just tell us about yourself and Edges of Glory, like what you do, why you do it, how you got into skating. Just a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm born and raised in Los Angeles, California. So as you can imagine, I'm very scared by snow whenever I go up to Canada. And I have loved skating my whole life. I used to skate. I grew up doing musical theater, all things artsy. And I started Edges of Glory about a year and like 2 weeks ago. And it was just, I love skating, but I felt like there was something missing in that. I feel like so often media just, you know, pictures these skaters and, you know, promotes them as skaters and not holistic human beings. Holistic sounds so weird, but like, you know, you really want to know, like, who are these people behind the skates? Like, yes, you know, they did a quad lutz, but like, what's their dog's name? Like, you know, what emotions are going through their heads? And so I felt like there was really a niche I could fill, and I love doing interviews. I love interviewing people. I have a background in journalism and writing, and so it kind of came off of that, and it's just grown, and it's crazy, and I love going to events, and I love all the amazing people I've met, including all of you guys, and I love your interviews as well. And Carly's like the interview girl, like if you don't know, and she's awesome. So yeah.
I was actually inspired. Many of my interviews are inspired by your interviews.
Thank you. But yeah, that's basically it. It's basically detailed, personal coverage of skating. I always say like I'm in the profession of being personal. And so I always try to do that in whatever I do, whether it's, you know, photographs or interviews or quotes or anything. And yeah, I just love skating. I love all the skaters and yeah.
What's your favorite discipline to watch?
Ice dance for sure. And I have to really like challenge myself to not overcover ice dance because I tend to do that. And I need to veer into other disciplines more. I love all the disciplines, but I mean, coming from a musical theater background, like I love ice dance. I mean, especially the Broadway rhythm dance this year.
I was going to say this rhythm dance is perfect for you.
It's my dream. Like, I just love ice dance. I literally, like, the ISU posted like their developmental seminar on the new junior pattern dance for this season, the T10 Foxtrot. And it was like 3 hours long. I think I watched it like 3 times, like just for fun. Like just for fun. I'm like, oh yeah, man, those rockers. Oh yeah, the little hoppy steps. Like
the man twizzle.
The man twizzle, yes. Very important.
That's the only step I know of T-Time Foxtrot is the man twizzle.
Oh my god. T-Time is a beast, but it's a posh beast.
Isn't it like 54 steps?
Yeah, it's long, especially compared to like the 20-second Finstep little bite we get this season, which I wish they kept the full thing in there, but alas.
Okay, so now moving on to our actual competition coverage. Canadian Nationals, commonly referred to as Canadians, was first up. It was a couple weekends ago. In all but one discipline at Canadian Nationals, we welcomed new champions. So that's exciting.
It is exciting.
So we're going to start with that, and we're going to start with the men.
Oh, yes. It was interesting, to say the least.
So just to like kind of shape our discussion, Canada has a home Worlds this season. It's in Montreal. Many of ITL's members will be going, and they only have one men's spot. So this was kind of like a bloodbath to get that spot.
But it was like a really friendly bloodbath because everyone loved each other and they didn't want it to be a bloodbath. And like, it was, Oh my God, like Keegan and Nam, their bromance is out of this world. Like, let me tell you, they do not put, like, it is real.
They are not exaggerating on those commercials.
They are really not.
So, anyways, our podium was we had champion Roman Sadowski, silver medalist was Nam Wen, and in bronze was Keegan Messing, which are all names that most people know. It's interesting to note that the podium order reversed from the short to the free. We started off the free with Keegan in first with like a 4-point lead, which is a decent lead. And then I forget Roman's score, but he was in third. And then Nam was in second, obviously. But mistakes in both Keegan and Nam's free programs kept them from leading over the young blood.
Yeah, it was interesting because, coming out of the short, you thought, okay, it's definitely between Keegan and Nam, like leaning towards Keegan. And then, Keegan had said afterwards that that one world spot was like looming over him because, like they're bros and that their friendship is so strong that that's a hard situation for anyone. And so I feel like what kind of happened is it was going like, no, you take the world spot. No, you take the world spot. And then Roman was like, oh, I'm just gonna sneak past you and get the
Roman's like,
gold.
no, I'll take the world spot.
Yeah, it was bizarre. I mean, all great skates all around, but yeah, it was an interesting outcome. I don't really think anyone expected that.
Yeah, I will say Roman was definitely the cleanest of the three in the free skate. I think he was almost perfect.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
So he definitely deserved that title. I would give him the world spot, but it's interesting to note that. So Canada, they technically released the assignments for four continents and worlds, but it's really just the assignments for four continents.
Yeah, that's true. There are so many TBDs, and I mean, they're dependent on four continents, which is, this upcoming week.
So Keegan, Nam, and Roman are all going to four continents, and they're refusing to name that one man until they see the results. I personally think they should send Roman. He did well on his second GP. He medaled at NHK Trophy, and he pulled out really good programs here. He seems to be pretty consistent lately. However, there is also an argument to be made for Nam because he did medal at Skate Canada with really good programs. He was unable to keep that momentum for his next Grand Prix. And then Keegan didn't do bad on the Grand Prix. He got fourth at both of his, but maybe four continents he could make a case for himself because if he pulls out his best there, he could probably be on the podium. So it's a shame that the top three couldn't perform at their best so we could see who really comes out on top. But I'm still really glad for Roman. He seemed really happy after his free skate. You may remember his quote, "This isn't good for me. The stress isn't good for my heart," which is highly relatable. Me this past weekend.
Honestly, that's how I felt at Canadian Nationals. That's how I feel in general, as you know, as I stress text you almost every week.
It's like, "This stress isn't good for my heart. What are you stressing about?" I don't know.
Literally everything. I mean, figure skating is stressful in general. It's stressful for the skaters, the coaches, the fans, the media, just anyone involved in skating. It's like not like a relaxing. I mean, maybe it's relaxing. No, it's not relaxing to watch. It's not relaxing to
It's
watch.
not. It's really not.
It's really not, but it is what it is. It's crazy and it's terrible and it's great and we love it and we're in this crazy world. So, yeah.
Whether we like it or
We're
not.
stuck for life.
Anyways, but what I really liked during Canadian Nationals was the Keegan Nam bromance propaganda. Like every other commercial was like Keegan being like, "Nam took me to the mall," and Nam being like, "I forced Keegan to go shopping."
Yeah, I mean being backstage in the mix zone, like I mean they're such bros. They're like, throw jabs at each other in a friendly way, and then Keegan like trying to trash talk Nam is just really him complimenting him, which is so funny to see in person. Like it's great. Like Nam said, I asked him like how his friendship with Keegan had like changed him as like a person and a skater, and he said that like Keegan's taught him like how to just to be a better person and not take life so seriously, and that look at the bigger picture. So I think they it's really powerful, in a discipline that is so competitive to have like the top skaters have that bond and have that friendship. It is sportsmanship personified, and it is honestly beautiful, and I love it.
Shout out to the bros.
The bros, the bromance. So, I mean, whatever happens, like their friendship is going to transcend, like, worlds.
Who wins?
Yeah, exactly. Like that's what's really important here. And I think it's a good reminder for all of us that this is just skating. These are just competitions. It's not what really matters in the big picture of life.
So moving on, we want to talk about some of our other favorites from the Canadian men who may not have been on the podium. But one of them who almost was on the podium was Joseph Phan. He was fourth place. I love that for him. I love him so much. Check out our interview with him that I did back in August before his junior Grand Prix. He hasn't really made his senior debut on the Grand Prix yet, but he had a really good showing here, and I'm really proud of him.
Yeah. And he got assigned to Junior World, so I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a fan. P-H-A-N. Sorry.
I'm kicking you out of the episode.
No, please don't. Please don't. I swear. When I was at Cricket Club in November, like, taking photos, doing interviews and stuff, I met him, and he was just so lovely and so sweet and down to earth, and he's a good bean, and I think he has a lot of talent and potential. And so I'm really excited to see him kind of, you know, move into the senior realm and, you know, really challenge and, you know, make a name for himself in senior men.
I also really liked it was my first time seeing Conrad Orzel's new Les Mis free program, which he changed about like halfway through the season. I just really liked it. It was really good. There was a step sequence to Do You Hear the People Sing? And I just thought that was really well placed.
Oh, yeah. You can't go wrong with Les Mis. Les Mis is epic on the ice, on the stage.
And my final shout out of the Canadian men's is Nicolas Nadeau. His Depeche Mode free program is literally the best program I've ever seen. And he deserves the world. That's my shout out. Moving on to ice dance, which is Allie's specialty, is Canadian ice dance.
Canadian junior ice dance is really my niche, which is really niche, but I love it.
We have a new champion, Piper Gillies and Paula Poirier. Love them.
Woo!
Second place went to Marjorie Lajoie and Zachary Laga. And third place went to, for their first time medaling, Caroline Soucis and Shane Furis. So we are really excited about new Canadian ice dance champions Piper Gillies and Paul Poirier. It is what they deserve.
We are so excited. I mean, after all the silvers, they are just two really good people, two amazing skaters, creative skaters, and I am like beyond happy for them. I mean, I've been a fan of theirs for a while. I think that they've kind of been like cult favorites, but now they're becoming more mainstream. You know, they made it to the Grand Prix final for their second time. And I just think they're amazing all around. I think what I really appreciate about them is that they really push the envelope and push the sport forward artistically. They don't just stick with the same old programs. They're constantly reinventing themselves. No matter what they do, it's always interesting. It's always colorful. Them and their coaching staff, who are amazing. I visited their rink back in November. Their coaching staff is incredible. Carol and John Lane, they're British. They're amazing. You know, Joris Vasgulayev, his wife is their off-ice trainer. You know, Marc-Andre Savant. Like, they just have a great team. Scarborough is amazing. You know, they also had the novice and junior teams on the podium. So I really can't say enough good things about Piper and Paul, and also Piper's dog Scout, who I finally met. That was definitely the highlight. Scout is adorable. I finally met her in person. Can you say in person for a dog?
I met her in dog.
She is so sweet. I remember hearing a quote that ice dance performance is successful if it makes you feel something. And, you know, it's definitely the most storytelling focused of any of the disciplines, which is why I personally love it so much. And, you know, Piper and Paul are one of the top teams because they are two of the best storytellers out there. Their expressions, the nuances in the movements, the creativity in the music cuts, their costumes, everything. Like, you know, even in the lyrics, like with perfection stamped on every feature, and she like steps on his foot, and it is honestly like the best.
I have not disliked any program of theirs because of their storytelling. Like you said, they push the envelope. They have such fun and or creative programs.
Yeah, I mean, they're like the king and queen of creativity. I think one of my all-time favorite ice dance, if not skating programs, is their 2015-16 short dance, which they actually kind of retooled 3 weeks before Worlds, you know, their Beatles short dance. And then, you know, it was the Ravensburger Waltz, and they had to create, a pattern-type step sequence. And then that pattern-type step sequence is actually going to be the pattern dance for the juniors in the Olympic season, and it's going to be called the Maple Leaf March, and they're working with the ISU to develop that. And I mean, next year is also going to be Ravensburger, but it's also going to be a folk theme, and I won't elaborate on my thoughts on that and all the cultural appropriation that is soon to follow.
I think this is really a season for them where they make a mark and, like you said, become more mainstream, and I'm really excited for that.
I think onwards and upwards, you know, you don't want to peak too soon. I think their end goal is, you know, 2022, and I think they're going to get there and pass with flying colors, and I'm really excited to see how they do at Four Continents and Worlds this year.
Me too. Talking about Marjorie and Zach, Canada kind of seems to be riding that wave since they became world junior champions last season. For being a fresh senior team, they got pretty nice scores. And for just comparing to the scores they got on the Grand Prix and at their challenger, like, I was just surprised that they did so well. And I'm happy for them because they seem very committed at nationals. And I liked their performances at nationals. They seemed like they were really looking to make a mark there. So I was a little surprised with their scores, but I mean, I guess I think it was well deserved.
I mean, you know, coming off of being junior world champions, I mean, they had a rough couple seasons. They were always like nearly off the podium, like at, you know, junior Grand Prix final for a few years. And then, you know, they ended last season on such a high. And then this season, you know, they placed 7th and 6th at their Grand Prix, Rostelecom and Skate Canada, respectively. And then 4th and 7th at Finlandia and Lombardia, you know, challengers. And so I think they're, you know, they're still a new team, you know, a new senior team. They're still in the running. They're still kind of figuring out their voice and the story they want to tell. But I think in regards to Canada, they're, you know, up there at the top. But internationally, they're still kind of getting their feet wet.
And then Soucis and Fieris, this is their, I'm really proud of them. I've seen them a couple times before. This is their first time medaling at nationals. And it's really a shame because I feel like they can't compete a program without someone falling. It just happens a lot to them, which is a shame because both their programs this season bop.
Yeah, I love their Jersey Boys, Oh What a Night, rhythm dance. It's amazing. And they just have such like a, even in the beginning when they're like sidestepping, they just have such a dope skating style. Like they're both just so expressive and they feel the music and like artistically it's great. And then, you know, it's just, it's a shame when the technical elements don't really match up with the artistic. And, you know, they have had those falls. I think they had a fall on one of their finstep key points, the slide stop. I forget which competition that was at, which was so unfortunate. Like it's, you know, they're a great team. They're great. So I'm really hoping they can, you know, take this momentum from nationals and, you know, really run with it or skate with it.
And then just off the podium, just want to give a quick shout out to Haley Sales and Nicholas Wamsteaker. They're my Mamma Mia Canadians. They skate to Dancing Queen in their rhythm dance, and I love them for it. And they came in 4th. That's the power of ABBA.
It is true. They are great. I mean, their Mamma Mia rhythm dance is definitely a highlight for me this season. And so I'd love to see them, you know, gaining more traction. And I think they're fantastic. I mean, it's ice dance. Like, nobody can watch that program and not come out of it smiling. So I'm really happy that they had, you know, a successful season in that regard, program wise. And I'm really hoping that they can take it to the next level. And then also coming after them is Molly Lanahan and then Dmitry Razgulayevs, who is coached by his dad and partially his mom. And they're a really solid team. I wrote in my notes, I hope they get some more international assignments. And then I found out they were assigned to Bavarian Open next week. So that's really exciting. I think they have lots of potential, a long way to go, but they're always just on it. I really love them. And then, of course, this is ice dance, so I have a few more shout outs. Do you have any other senior teams that really caught your eye?
Not really, just because I missed Fournier Beaudry and Sorensen. I missed them.
Oh yeah, Lolo and Nick. It's such a shame about his knee. They were there. I talked to them in the hallway, and you know, he had just had surgery and a meniscus thing. So he had just had surgery in December, and so I think them and everyone in Skate Canada are kind of hoping they can recover for Worlds. That's kind of a question mark. I feel like that's why there's the TBD in the Worlds assignments. Like, you know, they have Piper and Paul, they have Marjo and Zach, and then I think they're holding that spot in hopes for Lolo and Nick because Lolo and Nick are just amazing. I mean, bronzes at both their Grand Prix while he was injured.
And they have one of the most fantastic rhythm dances.
Oh, for sure. I mean, those twizzles, the Bonnie and Clyde
with
twizzles.
With the finger guns?
With the finger guns, like...
Those are money.
I scream at the screen every time I see that. So I'm really hoping, you know, he had the same problem with his knee like a decade ago. So I'm really hoping that, you know, it will work out for them, because how cool would it be to, you know, Worlds in Montreal? Like, you know, that's Gadbois town.
It is.
And then also, just real quick, Junior Dance is one of my favorites. And so just wanted to shout out the podium. And it was interesting because we had the Youth Olympics the same week. So two of the top teams, Natalie D'Alessandro and Bruce Waddell, out of cricket club, and then Miku Mikita and Tyler Gennara from out of British Columbia, they were at the Youth Olympics, and Nat and Bruce got a team bronze and came fourth individually. And so they weren't there, and that kind of opened the door for some other teams who have been kind of, you know, at the top. So we had Emmy Bronsard and Issa Bouaguia. They're out of, you know, Ice Academy of Montreal, Gadbois, and they got gold at Nationals. Last year they were sixth. They got bronze at one of their junior Grand Prix in Croatia. Love their rhythm dances. Love their, you know, David Bowie free. They're one of my favorite teams. I'm really excited. You know, they're definitely going to make a big mark in the future when they turn senior in, you know, a handful of years. And then Nadia Bashinska and Peter Beaumont, you know, out of Scarborough, Piper and Paul's rink. They took silver. They're amazing. And then Olivia McIsaac and Corey Cercelli, they won bronze. And Corey also won gold in junior men. Shout out for those double discipline skaters. And also, I met Marie-France Dubreuil in person for the first time. And let me just say, she is terrifying, like in the best way possible. Kind of like a Devil Wears Prada vibe.
That's what I aspire to be. How are her coats?
Oh my God, she had like a different coat for each event. She had like a coat change between practice and like the competition one day. That was great.
Oh my God. Moving on to our third discipline, ladies. Our podium was Emily Bosbach in gold. She was a new senior national champion. And silver, we had Allison Schumacher from TCC. And in bronze, we had Madeline Skizis. To be honest, Canadian ladies is just a little bit tragic right now. Emily's actually been on the international junior circuit since the 2016 to 2017 season. She ended up sixth at her only junior Grand Prix, which was Lake Placid, but she also got her first international senior assignment, which was the Warsaw Cup, where she ended up sixth, and that's where she got the technical minimum for other competitions until the ISU changed it, which is a whole other issue that we can talk about later. She talked about how her goals for the season were just to work on her expression and how she delivers her programs, but she became national champion, so I'm really excited for her, and I hope she can get those TES minimums. And then Madeline Skizis, she actually won the Skate Canada Challenge this year, and last year she was the Canadian Nationals Junior Women's Silver Medalist. She did have a competition. She had the Volvo Open Cup in 2019 where she ended up fifth, but she did have some momentum going for her. So I'm really happy for everyone on this podium, but it just says something that I think all three of the podium don't have the TES minimums for Worlds.
I mean, that's unfortunate. And also, I think there was criticism of the Federation for not sending their junior ladies out on more senior assignments or on more international assignments. I mean, you know, Madeline has only competed at one other assignment.
Madeline is assigned to actually the same weekend as Four Continents to Bavarian Open, along with the junior champion Kaya Ryder. So she can also get some more international experience there.
Yeah, I feel like Bavarian Open is kind of like the junior equivalent of Four Continents assignment-wise. Like, Four Continents is kind of like they're using that for Worlds, and then Bavarian Open, they're using that for Junior Worlds, I feel like, for both U.S. and Canadian. I feel like there also was some criticism of the feds for, you know, not sending their ladies out on enough international assignments, senior or junior, because, you know, we are coming off a golden age of Canadian skating with, you know, Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer, Megan Duhamel and Eric Radford, you know, Patrick Chan, Caitlin Osman, you know, 2018 world champion, and now we're really rebuilding in the ladies. But I feel like Kaya Ryder is really kind of, everyone's kind of pinning their hope on her. I mean, she won junior ladies this year. She got gold at sectionals and at challenge. She won novice ladies last year, I believe. She has a killer triple-triple combo.
it's kind of says something just about the state of ladies, not trying to pin anything on them, that, you know, their biggest hope is Kaia Ryder, this 13-year-old girl. But we have talked about last year on the U.S. Nationals episode, which I was also on, but we talked about how it is not healthy to anyone to put your hopes and dreams of an entire Fed on a 13-year-old girl, CeCe Alyssa Liu.
Yeah, I mean, Kaia Ryder is kind of like, not a Canadian Alyssa Liu, but it's kind of similar, although not at the same level, because I feel like the American press is just going crazy over Alyssa
Liu. So we do want to talk a little bit about some other skaters. Gabby Dalman, it's really sad because her health issues seem to want to stop her from doing her best. She's been very honest about struggling with mental health, and she also had some health problems. She had pneumonia during nationals that might have stopped her from performing to her best in the free program. And honestly, she's probably under a lot of pressure as Canada's kind of only top woman. So I just really wish that she can get in a healthy headspace and do her best in that headspace.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, she's been criticized a lot on social media and has been very open about her mental health struggles. And I just know that figure skating isn't the healthiest environment to be in when you're in that really dark mental space. So I hope she does what's best for her, you know, whatever that means. It is sad, though, because she has so much talent. I mean, two Olympics, her jumps are massive. And when she's good, she's good. Like, she is just a little firecracker. And so, you know, we're really in a transition in Canadian ladies. There's a lot of pressure on everyone. There's a lot of scrambling. And it's you know, we're halfway through the quad. Like, the Olympics are in 2 years. Who are we going to send? How many spots are we even going to have? Like, are we going to retain our two women's spots at Worlds?
See, that's a good question going into Worlds, because Canada hasn't assigned any women to Worlds yet. We said earlier that none of the podium of Canadian Nats has the TES minimums to make it to Worlds. Now that the ISU changed them mid-season, which was a horrible thing to do because it screwed over.
By like 1 point, what's the point of that? It's like a shady move.
It's just rude.
It's a shady move. I cannot see any practical thing like changing it by like, I think it was literally a point. I mean, that's just, you know, really messing with small Fed skaters. But then it's like, Canada's not a small Fed.
But yeah, Emily and Allison are both assigned to four continents, so they can try to get the TES minimums there, and it would be really a step up for Canada to have the ability to send their national champion to Worlds. And then we also have Alicia Pinault. She wasn't on the nationals podium, but she is assigned to 4CC. She does have the TES minimum, so she could possibly be going to Worlds as well, depending on how four continents goes.
I mean, it was interesting. She was first after the short program with, you know, 63.15. And then she was fifth after the free, coming in at fourth. And, you know, Veronique Mallet, she was at two Grand Prix. And, you know, all the ladies that we thought might medal at nationals, none of them did. They were all kind of, you know, in that fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth kind of position.
And that just kind of says something about the state that it's in.
Yeah, I mean, Aurora Kotop, she was in 12th after the short, and then she withdrew. And so those are kind of the names we're used to seeing in international competition.
Canada's ladies is just a big question mark right now. But I do hope for the best for them at four continents, and that those who need to get the tech minimums can get them. And then our final discipline of Canadian Nationals 2020 is the pairs, which is also not really a very competitive discipline. The podium is Kirsten Moore Towers and Michael Marinaro in gold, up-and-coming pair Evelyn Walsh and Trent Michaud in silver, and then in bronze we have Lyubov Ilyushechkina and Charlie Bilodeau.
Oh my gosh, I feel like for pairs and dance, the podiums are kind of like actually exactly what I had predicted in my head. So I feel like it's very, you know, not too many surprises there. I mean, Lyubov and Charlie coming in this season as a new pair, they're super strong. They're definitely challenging. Some people thought they might get silver. Some people thought they might even get gold. But Kirsten and Mike, you know, Grand Prix final, like they are going strong. They are solidifying their spot as a top pairs team internationally.
Yeah, I think I was actually part of the people that thought Lyubov and Charlie would take silver, because even though they are a new team, they aren't really to be counted out. They got bronze at one of their Grand Prix after finishing not on the podium at in the other.
Yeah, it was Cup of China, and then they got fifth at Skate Canada and also bronze at Finlandia.
Yeah, so they've had a couple medals already on the international season for this being their first year as a team. I will say they both still struggle with their side-by-side jumps. They did with their old partners, and they do, and teaming up doesn't seem to fix this. So this can definitely continue to plague them and keep them from being in podium contention if they still struggle. But it was nice to see them get on the podium.
Yeah, I think the more the merrier. Like, the more top pairs teams we have, the better. And I mean, the podium was all assigned to four continents. And then, you know, for Worlds, we only have two pair spots. And currently only Kirsten and Mike are assigned. So that second pair spot at Worlds, that's going to be a battle between, you know, Evelyn and Trent and Lubov and Charlie.
Kirsten and Mike are the only non-new national champs. They were national champs last year. And they've pretty much been keeping Canadian pairs afloat since the last Olympics after Duhamel and Radford retired. So yeah, they're pretty much solidified as the top Canadian pair. Since they made it to the Grand Prix final in Torino, they're probably definitely aiming to prove their worth as a top pairs team at Worlds. They challenged for the four continents title last season.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I was there as in Anaheim last season, just about like
oh, you were?
2 hours from me. Yeah.
And then we have Evelyn and Trent. They've been kind of a lower ranked Canadian pair for a bit of time, but hopefully this is the start of a rise for them. They were third in the short, but they delivered an amazing free to take silver. And that's just probably really exciting for them.
Yeah. I mean, this is only their second senior season. Like, they were a junior pair for so long, so you know they're still new in the senior game, but they kind of came in at the right time, you know, in the new quad. And I think something I wanted to know is that, you know, the camaraderie between Kirsten and Mike and Evelyn and Trent, especially between Mike and Trent, because they're roommates now and, you know,
that's so cute.
They're training mates, because I mean, Evelyn and Trent, you know, train with Allison Perkis and Brantford. But, you know, they also train now part of the time in Oakville, you know, with, you know, the new pair school there that's, you know, become such a hub. And so in the mix zone, they were joking about how, like, Trent cooks Mike dinner every night, is such a good housewife. And then he, like, kissed him on the cheek as a joke. So, yeah, it was cute. So they were both, like, backstage. They were both so happy for each other. And it was just, like, really, really great to see. So that was a highlight, I think. And, yeah, Trent has a super cute pug, Bilbo Puggins.
Oh my god.
So cute, so chubby. I recommend you go check out his Instagram.
And then there's something else in regards to Skate Canada pairs that we wanted to talk about. You may have seen on Twitter that over the weekend of Canadians, a video was shared of a junior pair, which is Emmy Carignan and Brian Piero. She's 13, I heard. She was dropped from probably like 5 to 6 feet in the air in a failed twist. And she landed on her wrist and knee, and she went and competed in the short program. Afterwards, she had to be carried off the ice and was found to have a broken wrist and kneecap. And so we just want to talk about that and say that the fact that she wasn't checked out until after performing in the short program was incredibly alarming. And the fact that she was also lauded by commentators for bravely performing on her injuries is also distressing, because it's not brave to perform on injury, especially one as bad as she could have sustained. It's kind of stupid. And I really hope that we have more qualified personnel on the scene that know when to step in and stop people from doing so.
Yeah, especially in pairs when the risk for injury and concussion, you know, they're so high up in the air and they can crash down so hard. And I think people on Twitter were really angry, and they were tweeting Ted Barton, who was one of the commentators who had, you know, said she was brave. And he had said that, like, he assumed that the proper protocols were going on rinkside and he didn't know. So I think it's just really a systematic issue. And it reminds me of, you know, Ashley Kane Gribble and Timothy LeDuc, you know, her really bad fall back in December of last season at Golden Spin, and she could barely stand and they kept going and no ref stopped them. And it's like, these are people, like, you got, it's not just about finishing a program or a competition. It's, you know, long term, like, what is this doing to their health?
And we'll link this in our transcript, but according to Skate Canada's official concussion protocol, which was released in 2017, if there is concern of a skater sustaining a concussion or a non-emergency head or spinal injury, they are to be removed from the ice immediately. And what's more, a youth, which Emmy was, who is suspected to have a concussion, is not to return to the ice, to their training, or to their coach before having a medical assessment done. So, and Skate Canada also states that a concussion should be suspected and investigated should a skater take an impact to the head, face, neck, or body, which she very clearly did. So something wasn't being followed there, and that's very distressing. And we just really need more medical personnel who can speak up.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I'd like to note that the rink kind of had a weird setup. Like, it wasn't like there was all around boards where you could stand. Like, it was like the seats went all the way up to the ice except for a few little pockets. So I don't even know where the medical personnel were or if they even saw that or saw the angle and like what the protocol was, you know. So it's kind of confusing.
It's just not a good look for Skate Canada. And I just really hope she's okay. I just really hope Emmy is okay.
Paris girls are tough, man. They're made of like fire and steel and nails.
Moving on to U.S. Nationals.
Ba-ba-da-da.
It was a fun event. U.S. events are just such a time because, like we both went to Skate America last year and, like, there was, like, illusionists and there was Rusty Bucket or whatever his name is.
Who's Rusty Bucket?
He's that guy who always interviews everyone.
That guy?
Yeah. His name's Rusty something. I just call him Rusty Bucket.
I always wondered who he was and why he was there, and he kind of looks like a car salesman. And he talks like one too. Anyways, yeah, Skate America is actually how I met the In the Loopies. Like, that was an amazing experience.
That was where Edges of Loop was born.
Edges of Loop or In the Glory, which that sounds wrong.
In the Glory. Anyways, so at US Nationals we're gonna start off again with the men. And our podium was Nathan Chen in gold, Jason Brown in silver, Tomoki Hiwatashi in bronze, and then the U.S. special, the pewter medalist, was Vincent Zhou. So, talk to me about Jason Brown, U.S. national silver medalist. You have no idea how happy I am to say that.
Oh my god, he's amazing. I mean, between his skating skills, that spiral that has held for longer than anyone has held a spiral this season, and then, you know, the quad toe, I mean, he's just really establishing himself as a force to be reckoned with, and he has his mama Tracy Wilson to back him up. He is all good.
And, like, it's not like he wasn't already a force to be reckoned with.
Well, he's been a force, but I feel like exactly. Now he's even more of a force.
I could talk about Jason for days, but I'm not going to. I'm going to spare you all that. But anyways, Jason delivered two stellar, absolutely amazing programs here. And he said that this quad, it's his campaign to make the 2022 Olympic team. You may remember he missed out on the 2018 Olympic team. And if he can continue to perform like this, especially at Nationals, he's got a really, really good chance. And it's also worth it to note that he said in an interview post his free skate at Nationals that he doesn't really consider himself to be as consistent as he used to be before he got to TCC, which is a coaching change he made a couple years ago, which he has chalked up to a change of training and technique. But maybe, just maybe, this is the start of something new.
Did you just High School Musical?
It's a start of something new with Jason Brown. I'm here with you.
I just let you take that one by yourself, girl.
And we're reaching the end of that 18-month trial period that both Jason and Brian have mentioned before. That has to do with solidifying technique and training habits. So, more eye emoji.
That's so ominous. A trial period. That never makes you feel good and secure.
But it's good here because it means that Jason's getting used to TCC. So, we're happy for him. Anyways, I love Jason Brown. The end.
Really? I had no idea that you loved Jason Brown. Because you skipped over gold medalist Nathan Chen. You were like, but Jason Brown.
I know I went a little out of order, but moving on to Nathan, I just really wanted to get my love for Jason out of the way. Moving on to Nathan, I don't have a lot to say about him. He's as consistent as ever, although he wasn't, you know, as clean as we've seen him from him before here, which he has been sick. And he said it was the least prepared for a Nationals he's ever been.
Oh, yeah. He was super sick. Like, that article, the journalist was like, oh, yeah, Raph showed me a picture on his phone of Nathan curled up in his office on the floor. I mean, I feel because I think I was sick at the same time Nathan Chen was. So, you know, you could say I was Nathan Chen.
You're the U.S. Nationals gold medalist in the men.
I really am, surprisingly. Like, I've kind of found my niche.
Everyone, this is actually an interview with Nathan Chen. Anyways, you have to really give it to Nathan. He hasn't even had, like, a nearly bad skate, much less a completely bad skate, since the Olympics, which was almost 2 years ago. And he also hasn't missed out on a gold medal since.
I mean, do you remember at Skate America when we were sitting together and Nathan was skating? I said, wow, he's like the skating equivalent of Simone Biles. He's like so solid. And then he popped a jump right when I said that.
Yeah, Allie cursed him.
I cursed him.
So we're not going to call him anything anymore. We're just going to talk about him.
I mean, I have so much respect for him. And I think I love his programs. Like, I know sometimes he gets criticism, but I love watching him. I think he's a great performer. Like, he makes skating cool. Like, young boys are going to see him and be like, I want to be like Nathan. Like, I love his programs. It's relatable music. I think during Skate America, I cried during Rocket Man, which was probably from lack of sleep. But, like, I was very touched. Like, he's pretty epic. He's solid. He's consistent. Like, and I love how, you know, everybody tries to, like, turn him against Yuzu or whatever and be like, oh, so are you gonna take that, you know, foray from Yuzu? And he's like, no, he can have it. I love Yuzu. Yuzu's the best man. And Nathan's always just, like, loving on Yuzu.
He's his hype man.
He is. Like, media is always trying to get them to go against each other. And you know, Nathan's like, man, Yuzu, like, being here with Yuzu is an honor, and it's so cute. It's great.
It's really, it's lovable. And then in bronze, I am really, really proud of Tomoki Hiwatashi. I freaking love this kid. He was pewter last year, and now he's bronze this year, and I'm so excited for him. He really is skating's transition monster, because, I mean, who else does Russian splits or a cantilever into a jump? He literally does Russian splits into a triple loop. Like, who else does that?
He's insane in such a good way.
There is one thing I wish he could work on in his free skate. Like, his short program is One Republic, and it's easy to, like, have a determined expression to the song he skates to. But his free skate to Petrushka, he kind of has a more static expression on it. So I would wish that he would work on, like, emoting throughout his programs. But, like, even with that, he's, like, when he's on, he is a joy to watch. And honestly, like, get me another man who's doing a good Beelman recently, because, like, you can't.
I feel like more men should do Beelman. Like, you know, girls jump quads now. Like, that sometimes people in the past were like, girls can't jump quads. You know, it's like, well, men can do Beelman. Men can do gorgeous spirals. Like, let's bring that back.
And then in our pewter medalist position, we had Vincent Zhou. He moved down from silver last year, but it's still commendable considering that he's been out all season. He was still able to put out a clean short program and a good free program, which surprised everyone because his practices were kind of a mess. But he was fourth after the short program, fourth at the end of the free program, so he still had a good nationals.
Yeah, and then, you know, pewter medal, it's interesting because is there any other competition that gives out pewter medals in skating?
I don't believe so. I really think the point of the pewter medal is that so that USFSA kind of looks like they have more podium contention than they actually do. Like, they're like, look how many people could have won, but it's not really that.
Yeah, I feel like it's also like, you know, if they get fourth, instead of saying fourth place, you say pewter medalist and it sounds a bit more impressive. Like, whenever I'm, you know, writing interviews, if they got, you know, pewter at nationals, I'll, you know, include that. And, you know, it just kind of adds to the, it enhances it. It's like a seasoning to their, like, career. It's like paprika, but in medals.
The paprika medal.
It is. And I mean, it's good and it's bad, but I feel like if they're going to have a pewter medal and medalist and, you know, have them, you know, presented with that in the medal ceremony, they should have them at the press conference.
Yeah, I agree. That's weird that they don't do that.
Yeah, like, if you're going to commit to the pewter, commit to the pewter.
We have a couple of shout outs. Sean Rabbit is an oldie but goldie. Not really, he's only 29. I started to appreciate him after last US Nats when he had a really fun West Side Story free program, but this year he had a really stellar short program to East of Eden, which is a soundtrack that always makes me cry.
Oh yes.
I'm going to echo something that Tanith and Charlie said about him, which is that his joy for skating shows through his programs. Like, you can just tell that he loves what he's doing, and the fact that he went clean just kind of, and he was very happy after his short program, just made it that much more exciting to watch. And actually, when he got his score, which was a 78, The audience actually booed his score, which is not something that happens a lot. And then also Andrew Torgashev, he was third after the short program, which was really awesome. He got a 97. It was just very, like, not surprising, but exciting to see him be in third. So it was just kind of unexpected to see him up there with the big leagues of Jason and Nathan, which was super awesome. I was really proud of him. And then he had a couple of mistakes in the free program, but he still finished top five overall and is an alternate for Worlds, so good for him. Moving on to men's assignments. Worlds is Jason, Nathan, and Vincent. So assignments came out Sunday, and Vincent got the last world spot over Tomoki, which kind of caused a fire on Twitter.
Oh yeah, big fire.
What I have to say on this is that Vincent is world bronze medalist, but he's also been out almost the entire season. He didn't compete in the Grand Prix. He competed in one challenger, US Classic, where he got third. Didn't compete on the Grand Prix, and then came back for Nationals. And while Tomoki didn't have the greatest Grand Prix season, he is reigning junior world champion in men's, and he beat Vincent and is kind of expected to peak in the second half of the season. USFSA's choice is just kind of frustrating to fans because it makes sense to send Tomoki and he might not have this chance again.
Yeah, that is true. But I mean, does anything in figure skating make sense?
You are correct.
That was definitely surprising when the assignments came out because nobody really thought that was going to be how they were going to go. But it, you know, it is what it is.
And then for four continents, we have Jason, Tomoki, and Camden Polkinen, who I love so much. He has the most beautiful skating ever. But I'm really glad we'll get to see Camden and Tomoki one more time this season. It's just a chance to get some momentum for next season and kind of fix some of their international scores so far.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, Camden, you know, he's one of those people that's really like, you know, he's ready to launch. He's ready to get there. He's not quite there yet, but I have no doubt that he will get there in the coming seasons.
He has everything he needs to get there. He just needs to put it together.
Yeah.
So for the podium for U.S. Ice Dance, in gold we have Madison Schock and Evan Bates winning their second U.S. title, with their first being in 2015. In silver we have Madison Hubble and Zachary Donahue, and in bronze, a consistent bronze, we have Caitlin Hawaiik and Jean-Luc Baker.
Don't forget the pewter medal.
Oh yeah, and the pewter medalists, Christina Carrera and Anthony Ponomarenko.
Yeah, I mean, I was so happy to see, you know, you kind of have like, or what are they going to call it? The Battle of the Maddies.
Battle of the Maddies.
Maddie and Evan, you know, their first U.S. title was back 5 years ago in 2015, also in Greensboro. What a coincidence. I think Rusty Bucket, as you said, interviewing them after, he was like, so are you guys just going to move to Greensboro now? And they just gave him a look like, sure, Rusty. But I mean, the crowd was going crazy. They've been really strong all season. And, you know, they're really challenging Maddie and Zach. And it's like, I feel like it's more interesting watching an event when you don't know the outcome. I mean, that's what Maddie Hubble said in the press conference, you know, regarding the whole Papadakis Cizarone dethroning at Euros also last week. But yeah, I mean, they performed great and they did a great job and should be very proud of themselves. And I think, you know, all teams did great, but you know, if they came out on top, you know, snake slithered their way to the top.
It's really interesting, like you said, how the Battle of the Maddies, considering Chalk and Bates came out on top at GPF 2019. So it's kind of wondering, like, is this a change of tides in who USFSA decides to back leading up to 2022? Because Chalk and Bates only won base value in their protocols by 0.37 points. So their GOE and PCS, with quite a lot of 10s appearing in their protocol, really put them on top of Hubble and Donahue. I will say I do really enjoy Chalk and Bates lifts. They're just incredible. Like, I don't like the free dance, but like that first lift they do in the beginning, the curve lift plus curve lift.
I love that it's like a double curve lift. I think they had something similar in their Elvis free last year. And then quite an interesting ice dance event for Madison Hubble and Zachary Donahue. They were the U.S. national champions in 2019. Something interesting happened in their free dance that a lot of people, including myself, didn't even notice until after the fact, is that they got turned around during a choreographic spin, I believe, and they ended up doing a whole chunk of their program like backwards, like reversing the directions for everything. And I don't even know how that's possible, how they managed to get through that. Maddie was coded saying, like, you know, they're supposed to do the twizzles, like, towards the judges, and they went away, and then, like, a lift, it was all over the place, and so they basically did, like, half of their free dance, like, backwards.
What even?
It's so weird. I need to go back, and I mean, the judges for sure knew, and, like, if you, like, had watched their free dance and knew it, like, the back of your hand, you would also know, but to the casual viewer, you couldn't even tell anything was wrong. So I kind of want to go back and rewatch and, like, see now that I know, because that was crazy, and just the skill to be able to be literally turned around, and that is so difficult in ice dance with all the directions and the turns, and it can get very confusing in the edges, and, like, especially in dance when you're dealing with all those intricate patterns around the ice, and the skill and experience to be able to deal with that on the fly, still perform at nationals, like, I'm just astounded.
Yeah, that takes a lot of talent.
Yeah. And then Caitlin Hoyak and John Luke Baker brought down the house with their disco rhythm dance.
That's so fun.
Right? Like, Finn Stepan to Stayin' Alive.
I showed my dad that program because he loves Saturday Night Fever with a passion. And he was like, this is worth pausing my alligator hunting show.
You watch alligator hunting?
He does.
Well, you heard it here, folks. Caitlin and John Luke are better than alligator hunting.
They were bronze last year and they were bronze this year. Right now, they're pretty consistently America's top three team. It was my first time seeing their free dance, which Kat described as goth flamenco. And I'm just kind of taking that term and running with it.
Yeah, I think Caitlin described it as she's like a Spanish flamenco, Marie Antoinette something. Somebody said they look like goth vampires, which is kind of accurate.
They do.
It was interesting. It definitely didn't get the reaction from the crowd that the disco got. And it was just, I don't know. It wasn't my favorite program from them. I love their exhibition. Have you seen their exhibition?
Yeah, the swans.
Swan Luke Beaker.
Swan.
That's what I've started calling it. It's great. You know, they're both two really quirky people, and I'd really love to see them, like, infuse their programs with that more. I mean, I feel like they have done that with their rhythm dance, but, you know, so often their free is, like, their Liebestrom free. Like, it's very traditional, and it's like, you have such great personalities, you know, you have, you know, quirks that no one else has. Like, why not put that into your programs and artistry and really make yourself stand out? And I really hope they do that. And then we have pewter medalists Christina Carrera and Anthony Ponomarenko in their second senior season together. I'm very excited for them. Something to note is that they would have come third in the free dance, still fourth overall, but they got their choreographic character step sequence invalidated. And, you know, the sad thing was that they had all plus fives from the judges before it was invalidated. And apparently it was invalidated because they weren't close enough to the boards when they started it.
Oh.
Which is, you know, very picky, you know. But
yeah. Ice dance is picky.
It is picky, but it's, you know, it's those little details and little things, because it's, you know, people aren't falling on triple axels. They're, like, on the wrong edge for 0.2 seconds, and that's what makes the difference. So that sucked, but going into their first senior season, they were kind of sixth best, you know, with Parson Siblings, and then, you know, Lorraine McNamara and Quinn Carpenter ahead of them, and now they've kind of moved ahead of Lorraine and Quinn, who had a really rough season. And then also, you know, Green Parsons, so Caroline Green, who teamed up with Michael Parsons after their respective siblings, you know, retired. And so it's U.S. ice dance is a really deep field now.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised that Green and Parsons did so well, considering they're a very new team. But they seem like a really good partnership, actually.
Yeah, I mean, some people have criticized their age gap.
Yeah, I get that.
It's not super big, but they're from the same school, both Green and Parsons, and then, you know, Lorraine and Quinn are from Wheaton Ice Skating Academy out of Rockville, Maryland, and they've grown up with the same coaches. And also, it should be noted that both of those teams had, like, falls, kind of fluke falls. Lorraine and Quinn, like, coming out of an element, he kind of lost his footing and brought her down with him, and they fell. And then Green Parsons, like, she kind of stumbled, and then he pulled her up, and then he stumbled, and then she stumbled, and I'm not sure if it was counted as a fall or not, but they kind of had rough skates. And then, you know, Christina and Anthony really been working it, really been, you know, they've been really improving this season a lot. And then something to be noted about ice dance compared to the other disciplines is that it's very much, you know, wait your turn, do your time kind of, you know, pecking order. Like, you know, this is Maddie and Zach's 9th season together. Maddie's 11th international senior season, Zach's 9th international senior season, you know, and then it's Maddie and Evan's 9th season together also. And then it's Caitlin and Jean-Luc's 6th international season, 8th season together. And then, you know, Christina and Anthony's 2nd senior season. So you see how it kind of goes by longevity, like the length of time in the sport.
Yeah, kind of going off of that, do you think Chalk and Bait have been on the rise in the U.S.'s eyes, like, since their win at Four Continents last year?
I don't know if they have. I mean, Four Continents last year in ice dance was stationary lift, base. It was an interesting time. I feel like Chalk and Bates and Hubble and Donahue are kind of on similar footing and similar ground. I don't think really one has too much of a lead over the other now. I think they're pretty much equal, but that might change depending on the results of Worlds.
Yeah, that's something to look forward to. But the Worlds and the Four Continents team is Chalk and Bates, Hubble and Donahue, and Hawaiik and Baker. Last year, Hubble and Donahue got a world medal, but Chalk and Bates won Four Continents. It's going to be interesting to see how those world medals play out.
It will. And then, you know, kind of looking ahead to, you know, the coming season, I mean, we're almost at the pre-Olympic year, which is crazy. And, you know, next year's Worlds will decide the Olympic spots. And, you know, next year's Worlds are kind of related to this year's Worlds. So I think something to be noted, ice dance-wise, is that, you know, it's kind of a given that, like, Chalk and Bates and Hubble and Donahue will be going to 2022, barring any disaster. But, I mean, it's ice dance, so there's always room for disaster. And then you have to think about the next quad, I feel like, is going to be the time when it's going to be kind of like Caitlin and Jean-Luc versus, like, Christina and Anthony. And, you know, the kind of next generation coming in. It really does take, like, two quads to percolate to the top of, you know, the ice dance podium. But, yeah, it's really interesting watching the politics of ice dance because it's not a microwave. It's a slow cooker.
That's a good analogy. Okay, and then going on to U.S. pairs, our podium was Alexa Kinnearum and Chris Kinnearum in first place, Jessica Callalang and Brian Johnson in silver position, Tara Kane and Danny O'Shea in bronze, and then our pewter was Ashley Kane Gribble and Timothy LaDuke. Now, the Kinnearums kind of pulled this out of their butts after a disappointing nationals last season. They had a clean short program, a clean free program besides the side-by-side jumps. Like, I personally think that Callalang and Johnson should have won because the Kinnearums kind of got crazy GOE and beefed both their side-by-sides. And Callalang Johnson were, like, squeaky clean and pretty good in the short program. But the USFSA loves the Kinnearums, and they do have an amazing twist and were really solid on the other elements. So I'm not going to go, like, raging at USFSA's door or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think when they're consistent, they're definitely, you know, I mean, that twist, I mean, even I remember watching at the Olympics, it's massive. And so
it's just their side-by-sides that they kind of struggle on.
The Kinnearums, they seem to be in a much clearer mindset. And so maybe this will be their year. Hopefully in 2022, we'll have two pairs fall. But that depends on next year's Worlds, you know, which depends on this year's world. So we'll have to see. Actually, they have a new training environment this year. They train alongside, you know, Jessica Callalang, Brian Johnson in Irvine, California at the new Great Park Ice, which is where they held Jams Camp. And it is a beautiful complex. It's really nice. And they train under Jenny Minow and Todd Sand, who are actually 3-time national champions in pairs and world medalists and went to 2 Olympics. And it's a really great, you know, school that's developing, and now they're really putting Southern California back on the map. And yeah, they're really great. I was observing their training and photographing them back in October.
It's interesting to see that they're kind of used to be a kind of monopoly on pairs coaching, because we saw a lot of Delilah Sappenfield teams at last nationals. It's kind of interesting to see where pairs move. And it's definitely interesting to note that the top two at US came from Menno and Sand.
Yeah, and they're married. They're great. They have adorable kids. I'm wondering if they'll get more pairs teams interested in their school and if Irvine will become the new, like, Colorado Springs.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Moving on to Kane and O'Shea, they were clean enough to merit them a bronze medal. I don't really like their programs this season that much. I think they had a Les Mis free program.
They did. They did skate to Les Mis.
So we'll talk about assignments later, but I personally thought that it would get them a world spot. but it did not. Surprise, surprise.
I mean, Kane and O'Shea, I think what struck me is that they really didn't have much height on, like, their twist and throws and stuff compared to, like, Cowling Johnson and the Kinnearums. It was kind of underwhelming, I think, personally for me, in regards to technical elements. But they've been a team, you know, on USFS's radar for a while, and they, you know, they continue to, you know, be a force in U.S. figure skating season after season.
And then Kane, Gribble, and Leduc.
Oh, my heart. My heart ached for them.
They're technically a part of the podium. They had a pretty meh outing here. They had a lot of mistakes in both the free and the short, but they had enough to make the pewter podium, so yay for that.
I mean, it's so hard because, you know, they had such a great nationals last season, a great worlds. They got us two world spots. That is not to be forgotten. And they did okay at the U.S. Classic. They won, even with some falls earlier this season, the Challenger. And then, you know, they just, Skate America wasn't their event. And they've kind of had a rough fall, like the season, not falling, but that too. And, you know, my heart just breaks for them. I mean, going from U.S. champs to pewter medalists in a season after the great outing at Worlds and getting the world spots. But, you know, they just weren't there. So onwards and upwards. And I wrote here earlier, and they got back our two spots at Worlds, and now they most likely won't be there. But they actually were assigned Worlds, and a lot of people kind of were angry at that. But, I mean, I think they got back those spots. I kind of think it's only right that they be there, and maybe they can redeem themselves from this season. So I'm kind of glad they got the world spot in addition to the Kinnearums.
I thought that the world's team would be the Kinnearums and either Kane and O'Shea or Cowling Johnson, but it's the Kinnearums and Kane, Gribble, Leduc. And I'm kind of conflicted because while Kane, Gribble, and Leduc were the ones who got top 10 and got the two spots back, they have kind of been a mess this season. But on the other hand, they do have that highest score of the U.S. pairs. And also, while they didn't have a good showing at U.S. Nats, Haven Denny and Brandon Fraser were the only U.S. pair to medal on the Grand Prix this season. And at both. They medaled at both. Bronze at both. So they definitely have some good international scoring potential that USFSA could be missing out on at Worlds.
Yeah, I was surprised at their placement at Nationals because they killed it on the Grand Prix. I mean, I remember seeing them in Vegas, their Lion King free, like, they were crying at the end. We were crying at the end.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I'm kind of sad that they kind of lost that, I guess, momentum. You know, they're the third alternate for Worlds, and they're the first alternate for Four Continents. But, yeah, I mean, there's always next season.
Yeah, I hope they can improve next season and do better at Nats, because I really do like them as a team.
Yeah, I do too. I think they have a lot of potential, and I feel like, you know, all the pairs are kind of on the same level, and they're not quite challenging internationally yet. I mean, in addition to all the controversy, multiple controversies that U.S. pairs has faced over the past year, it's just not the best look for the discipline, and so I'm hoping that we can continue to improve both on the ice and off the ice in the pairs realm.
Yeah, same, because there's some budding talent there.
Yeah, definitely budding talent. I mean, we have the potential. It's just realizing that potential and, you know, delivering those results.
So moving on to our final discipline of U.S. Nationals, the ladies.
The ladies, which is U.S. is like, or we were known for our ladies. Like, you think back to the 90s, like Michelle Kwan, Christy Yamaguchi, like Tara Lipinski, like that's like what you think of when you think of figure skating, like Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan. Like, we have a very, very long history in ladies. And I think America's ego has definitely taken a hit in the recent years.
Oh yeah.
Even like the last two Olympics, really, like, you know, being so far behind the Russians and the like. So, you know, Alyssa Liu, gold medalist, has really become a beacon of hope. But then you have to think, like you said earlier, that it's unhealthy to pin the nation's hopes and dreams on the shoulders of a 14-year-old who makes killer slime and TikToks.
I love her.
She's great. I love Alyssa Liu. I've met her several times. She's a normal kid. But why don't you tell us the podium?
Yeah. Anyways, the podium for U.S. ladies was Alyssa Liu in gold position, Mariah Bell taking silver, Brady Tennell in bronze, and pewter, Karen Chen. I just want to shout out to the pewter medal for being the main G and allowing Karen to be on the podium. Starting off with Alyssa, she's just this little tiny firecracker, you know, when she's on ice. While she still has lots of room to improve, And I hope to God her team capitalizes on it. She's just so fun to watch. Like, in both her short, which I adore, it's to Don't Rain on My Parade, sung by Barbra Streisand, and her free program, which is Illumination by Jennifer Thomas, which I came to love this time around. You can just really tell that, like, she's having a great time while she's out there, and she loves being on the ice. She had a mistake on the triple axel in the short program, which had her in second place, but she landed both her triple axels, one in combination, and the quad lutz in the free to take the win.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she has that those outstanding technical elements, big, you know, quads, like you said, triple axel. But to me, why she's amazing is, you know, her attitude, her performance skills, her blossoming skating skills that she has really worked on this year and acknowledged that she's been working on. And, you know, most importantly, like, you know, her mindset, her positive attitude. Like, here's a kid who loves to skate, who always has, like, a sunny disposition. Like, I think her naive nature is definitely an asset at this point, and I'm praying that she retains that childlike innocence and pure joy for skating as long as she can. Because God knows that this sport really has a dark side. And so it's really refreshing to see that, you know, she's still loving what she's doing. She's not letting the pressure get to her. I feel like if the pressure were to get to her, it would have gotten to her already. I mean, of course, that's going to look different going into the Olympic year. But, like, she's like Nathan. Like, they both have really, they're both really surprisingly humble. They both have really good mindsets, just love skating. They're just easy breezy. They just do it.
Easy breezy, beautiful. Figure skating.
Exactly. So, I mean, I really love watching her skating.
And then talking about silver, Mariah Bell, damn, did she pull out a free program.
Oh, yeah.
She fell in the step sequence in the short, which put her in third, but she pulled out a, like, squeaky clean free with loads of crowd support that pulled off the silver, which is a step up from her bronze last year. She clearly has the support of the U.S. behind her, I think, because she had tons of 10s in her PCS.
And Adam Rippon behind her.
She also has Adam Rippon behind her. He's choreographer slash coach.
Slash hype guy. I mean, her program, her short kind of fell short, and she fell short also, like, actually fell. But, you know, her free was just, the audience was roaring. She said she'd never had a moment like that in her skating career. And I think those are those magical moments you remember forever, and the emotions that come with it, and seeing the score and so clean. And I think that really, like, I got goosebumps. Like, that's what skating's about. You work so hard and slave day after day for the hope that you'll get one of those magical moments. And I think she's going to remember that forever.
I was going to say, she was, like, sobbing after her free skate. And then we have Brady in bronze. She's kind of like Nathan. She's also known for being very consistent. She did make the mistake of a fall on her last jump in her free program, which might have been what brought her down to bronze, or the rise of Mariah's PCS, one of those things. I think both Brady's short and free program are really good programs for her. Her free program capitalizes on the type of program she's good at, while her short kind of lets her try out new styles. Her short program is fun. I'm not personally a fan of it, but I like that she's trying new things.
I really like Brady's short, like the like it's been stuck in my head since Skate America. And I really like seeing her, that other side of her, not just that, like, ice princess, perfect, like, you know, I like seeing that more kind of cool, spunky, yeah, spunky vibe. And I'd really love to see her do a free that is totally opposite, like, what she is known for. And I think next season would be perfect to kind of try that out. Like, obviously you don't want to go too far away from what you're good at in Olympic season, but I feel like maybe just mix it up for pre-Olympic season. Like, bring some of that personality in, because she, you know, we don't really see her personality much. She's kind of stoic. She's kind of really put together and composed.
I agree. Like, putting some personality into her programs like she does in her short, like, I think it would make a good free program.
So I'm excited to see, you know, what is to come for her. And I mean, she and Mariah will be at Worlds, because we have those two spots, and then she will be at Four Continents along with Karen Chen and Amber Glenn, who we will touch on later.
Karen, technically part of the podium. She didn't have perfect skates here, but she really showed how dedicated she is, how much of a fighter she is. Like, coming back to US Nats after injury left her out all last season, and after starting school at Cornell.
The Ivy Leagues. They should call them the Icy Leagues.
Talking about more that are off the podium, we have Amber Glenn, who gave the short program performance of her life at US Nats.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing to watch. Amber is a really good emoter on the ice. I realized that at Skate America. And she just seems like such a chill person that you can't help but cheer her on, you know?
Yeah, and I think especially recently, because this was her first comp after she kind of came out publicly in that magazine interview, right? I mean, everyone was rooting for her, and, you know, she had the most memorable short program of the event, in my opinion, but kind of fell short in the free, which was really sad, because I really wanted her to podium. And, you know, I think also, you know, about her coming out, like, she is such a great role model, especially for, you know, younger LGBTQ plus skaters. Like, it's not often you see a lot of openly gay skaters or, you know, bisexual, pansexual, you know, and so it's really important to just, you know, especially at that high level, like, be who you are and share your truth, and it can really inspire lots of younger skaters.
I'm just really proud of her. She just seems like she really enjoys being on the ice. And that's just one of my favorite qualities in skaters. She's just really easy to support, you know?
She is, and she has just those big expressive eyes, and, you know, it's just, she just tells such a story on the ice. And, you know, I'm really glad she got four continents, and I hope she does really well there, because if she can perform both programs like she performed her short, like, she will knock the socks off of everyone.
Yeah, I'm just really proud of her. She kind of made a mark internationally this season because she got a lot of attention. She got two Grand Prix for the first time. Mm-hmm. So I'm just really glad that she's kind of made a name for herself. And then also I want to talk about Sierra Vanetta. She's my new daughter. She went from 12th at last Nats to 7th here and 5th in the free program. You should check her out if you can. She kind of reminds me of, you know how like Piper Gillies has that like easy grace about her when she skates, like her free skate, mm-hmm. or her free dance? She reminds me of that. Like, she has like this like lovely smile on her face, and she just carries herself so gracefully that like it really made me like her skating. And she says her dream is to represent the US internationally, so I really pray she can get a challenger soon. Just final shout out, Gabriella Izzo. I love Gabby so much. She's so sweet and a great human being. We had an interview with her last August before her first junior Grand Prix. And this was her senior nationals debut, where she got into the final group after the short program. A few mistakes in the free program did end her up in 9th, but I'm still excited to see what comes from her next season.
Yeah, she's great. She's deferring. She's going to Harvard next year, and she does good stuff.
She does lots of volunteering.
Yeah, she's lots of volunteering because she is a good human being.
And then just some talking points about ladies. The USFSA kind of looks to have all their eggs in Mariah's basket. She won PCS by like 2 points. She was definitely placed above Brady, who has kind of been US's golden girl for like the past couple years. And Brady wasn't clean here, so hopefully they can both go clean at Worlds and we can kind of see who comes out on top, because it's going to be really telling of what the USFSA thinks. They both had successful Grand Prix. Mariah medaled at both and Brady made the final. So who knows, man? Like, US ladies is actually kind of a little competitive within the discipline.
Oh, for sure. And can any of them, do you think, I mean, you know, Alyssa Liu doesn't turn senior until the Olympic year, but, you know, do you think any of them will be able to beat her?
Honestly, if she keeps performing like she does, I don't think so. We do have a small shout out after wrapping up our US Nationals discussion that goes to Tanith Belbin White and Charlie White, who were NBC Gold's commentators. I really liked them as commentators for this event. I just really appreciate that they wait until before and after programs to discuss skaters and their performances.
Pulling a Ted Barton.
And they're generally well-informed and supportive. And like, I just think a supportive commentator is really important. And also, like, they just gave me a good impression. Also, they're cute and funny.
I agree. Like, I mean, we had, you know, Tanith as a commentator. We had Charlie. But was this the first time they were actually commentating together on some things?
I think so.
It was great. I mean, they give very, like, constructive, respectful, kind. Nothing ever said was mean. It reminded me a lot of Ted Barton's commentary. You know, I love that they didn't talk during programs because, you know, commentators that talk during programs, it really takes away from the experience of watching the program. And so I think if there's going to be commentary, it should add and not detract. And I think that's what Charlie and Tanith's commentary did. And I think they should commentate literally everything.
Them and just put them with Ted. for everything.
Oh my god, can you imagine those three?
The trifecta of pureness.
Literally, so pure, so pure.
So that wraps up our nationals discussion. I hope you had a good time, but I do want to give a little shout out, our shout out of the week. My shout out of the week goes to Allie Ween for being my co-host on this episode. She did such a good job and I'm really proud of her.
Thank you, Carly. I mean, thank you, ITL, for trusting me with co-hosting a podcast. What? And for Carly, my main squeeze, for holding my hand figuratively through this process, and for Evie for editing out things.
God.
But yeah, thank you guys. This has been a blast.
We want to give thanks to the research team for this episode, which is me and Allie. our transcribing and quality control team, Evie for editing. Big shout out to Evie. And Gab for our graphic design. If you want to get in touch with us, you can contact us via our website, inthelowpodcast.com, or on Twitter or Instagram. And you can find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. If you enjoyed the show and want to help support the team, please consider making a donation to us on our Ko-fi page, or you can buy our new merch available on our Redbubble. And we'd like to give a huge thank you to all the listeners who have contributed to our team thus far. And finally, you can find all the links to our social media pages and our Ko-fi on our website, which was previously mentioned.
Go follow Edges of Glory at Edges of Glory on Instagram and at Edges_of_glory on Twitter, because somebody took our handle, which is very weird. Thanks, you guys, for putting up with me for this hour.
Yeah, definitely check out Edges of Glory. She's got some awesome interviews. Like I said, I'm inspired by her interviews.
Thank you. More coming soon. Lots more coming soon.
If you're listening on iTunes, please consider leaving a rating and review if you enjoyed the show. Thank you for listening. This has been Carly.
And Allie.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed our guest host.
The Truth of Loop. Do, 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 do. In the Loop.